do inside of us. Thank you for your transforming power that comes from you and by you so that we can actually live out a different kind of life. Thank you for the way that you have already worked. And Jesus, what we're praying is that you're going to continue to work, that you would work in our hearts, in our minds, that you would work on the inside of us so that we can be different kind of people, so that we can live out the way that you have called us to live in this place. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're in the Cranston location or South County location or our Lincoln location, you all can have a seat this morning. And what we want to say is we want to welcome our Lincoln location. Can we give it up for our Lincoln location? Everybody right here in the Cranston location and at our South County location, we want to hear you out there giving it up for the Lincoln, our brand new location. We're so excited about our Lincoln launch today. And there we have our second microsite that has started there. And we are so encouraged. Already, when we had a meeting on Wednesday night, there were already people that they were wanting to invite. They were like, hey, this person lives over here and they're wanting to come, and this person lives. So we are so excited for you, Lincoln, and we can't wait to see what God does as we explore this opportunity over the next 8 weeks. Also, we are excited today to be led in worship by Chrissy. She has sang with us, but today was her first week actually leading us, and we are so thankful for her. What a blessing she has been to our church family. And you know, she's leading here today because Maggie was asked to go to Camp Berea to lead worship for a women's event that was going on there, and so she brought some of the band with her up there. And they're there on this Sunday worshiping and leading this women's event there at Camp Berea in New Hampshire. It's just a great place to be, that where there are other ways that we can serve the body of Christ literally throughout the region of New England. And we're so thankful for having that privilege as well. Well, if you don't know, my name is Rick. I get to be the lead pastor here. And if you're at our Cranston location, you're noticing that this is coming to you through a video teaching as well. And that's because I received a phone call this week that where my family had called me from Nashville, and it just meant that I needed to get back to Nashville and be with my dad during this time. So you pray for us. You pray for our family. We covet your prayers during this time. But we are kicking off a brand new teaching series called Life in Rhythm. And we're zeroing in over these next 8 weeks. We are zeroing in on the idea of God's design for work and God's design for family. And what this builds off of is 2 years ago, we all, as a church and small groups, we went through a book called Rooted. And in Rooted, we were taught seven rhythms that we should practice out. These were seven different rhythms that we were called to practice out. One of them was daily devotion, that we should live in a rhythm of life where daily we're setting time aside and we are connecting with God, that we are just connecting with Jesus, that we're trying to spend time with Jesus to become more like him. And we do that through connecting through his word. We're doing that through prayer, where you a rhythm that we're to practice is prayer, and not just, you know, 10 minutes in the morning, but throughout our day, that we would live in this rhythm of prayer, connecting, pouring our heart out to God, but also listening. Because part of prayer, you know, prayer is a conversation. It's a two-way listening, active listening, that you're listening for God as well as pouring your heart out to him. And then as we get to know him, as we get to know who Jesus is, as we become more like him, then we realize that we have freedom from strongholds. You know, those habits in our life, those things that just weigh us down. It's like that ball and chain strapped into our leg, and it's just like we're dragging that around with us. But as we get to know Jesus more, as we become more like Him, as He works on the inside of us, He brings about transformation. And that's what freedom from strongholds really is all about. The other rhythm that we looked at and that we learned that we need to practice is sacrificial generosity. That we would live our life in such a way that wherever we show up, wherever we go, that we are actually living a life of generosity, that we're living generously with our time, that we're living generously with the skills that we have, the talents that we have, and that we're living generously with the money, with how we use our money, and that we live from this posture of generosity. The other rhythm was to serve the community, that we would actually serve, that we, wherever we show up, whether it's our church family community, whether it's our family in our neighborhood, whether it's our workplace, wherever we go, our school, our college, university, that we're just showing up with, how can I serve you? We're showing up to wash people's feet. We live from a posture like that. That's a rhythm that God has called us to live from. And then there's this rhythm that we would get in this rhythm of practicing, of just sharing our story, sharing what God has done in our life, and sharing what God is doing in our life. And did you catch that? It's not just about what He did one time in your life, but it's about what He is currently doing, the current transformation that He is currently bringing in your life. It's these rhythms that God calls us to. And then there's this last rhythm about celebration. It's about living a life celebrating on a daily basis, that you live from this posture of celebrating God and what He has done in your life. Think about this, and we've challenged you before, that when you go to bed at night, that you would lay your head on your pillow and you would start to celebrate. God, thank you for, I celebrate you, God, because you let me live as a person of hope that was filled with hope, who is sharing a message of hope. And thank you for when that happened and I bumped into John, who I didn't even know, but then learned his name, and I got to share my story with him. And God, I just want to celebrate you how you brought that together. You see, that's what it means, living this life of celebration, celebrating, thankful for what God is doing. And we do that individually, but we do it corporately. That's what we do together, as we gather together as a body of Christ, whether you're in South County, in Lincoln, or whether you're right here in the Cranston location, we gather to celebrate what God is doing. But what we are going to do now is we're going to look at these seven rhythms that God has called us to practice. We practice these seven rhythms, and here's why. Because we're called to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, so we can do what Jesus did. And so I want you to think about that for a second. Let that sink in. We're called to be with Jesus. That's that relationship. We're called to be in relationship. It's always been about relationship. We're going to see that in a minute. But it's always been about relationship with God. And He brings us into relationship with Jesus, because it's about that relationship. And then as we are in relationship with Jesus, we just become more like Him. As we get to know Him through His Word, as we have those conversations with Him, as we are set free from strongholds, we become like Jesus. But why? Because from there, then, so that we can go and do what Jesus did. So that we can go and live our life the way that Jesus lived His life. And today, what we are going to zero in on is our workspace. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at our work. Now, I know not everybody in here works, like they don't have a job, so to speak. So for all of you, here's what, when you hear over the next 8 weeks this idea of work, when you hear this idea of work, here's what I want you to think. I want you to put it into context to where you are. Because if you're in school right now, that's your work. If you are at college, that's your work. If you are at university, you know, that's your work. If you are at that stage of motherhood or fatherhood, that is your work. Whatever it is, and some of you are in retirement, that is your work. Don't forget that that's your work. That's the stage. That's the phase of life that you're in. And maybe some of you are jobless. You don't have work, but you wish that you had work. Well, maybe that right now, that is your work. This space and time where there is no job, but that is your job, and that you don't have work. So this applies to everyone. It doesn't matter if you're married, you're single, young or old. It applies to all of us. And what we want to do is we want to look at work with the lens of God's design. We want to look at the original intent. What was God's intent for work? What was His original design for work? And to do that, we're going to go all the way back to the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1. So take your Bible, go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. And in Genesis chapter 1, we're just going to look at a couple of verses here. And as we do, what we're going to see right off the bat, in Genesis chapter 1, we have the overview, if you will, of creation. Chapter 2, you get more of the detail. But in chapter 1, the author gives us the overview of creation. And in this overview of creation, we are going to see that we're called to be image bearers of God. That you and I are actually called to bear the very image of God. Here's how we know this. Look at verse number 27. So God created human beings in His own image. So He created us in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. He created them. So we understand here that you and I were created in the very image of God, that we are to bear the image. Wherever we go, we are to reflect the image of God. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about this as that mirror. I mean, you know, every morning when you're looking in that mirror, right? You're looking in that mirror and you see yourself. At least that's what you hope you see. You hope that you see yourself. In fact, if you don't see yourself, then maybe you need to see a doctor or something. I don't know, but that's kind of freaky. If you look in the mirror and you don't see yourself, and it's like one of those horror movies, you know, where there's some scary person that you see. It's like, ooh, you're hallucinating or something, right? Well, but most of us all should see ourselves when we look in the mirror. But here's how God created us. When we look at ourselves in the mirror, what He wants us to reflect is the image of Jesus. What He wants us to reflect, what He wants other people to see, is Him. You say, how can that be? Are you saying that I'm a God? No, I'm not saying that you're a God. And nowhere in the scriptures does it teach us that we are somehow these little gods and we're supposed to. No, that's not what I'm saying. But you are to be an image bearer, that you are to reflect the very image of God wherever you go. And we know this is so, not just in the beginning, but the Apostle Paul said this. He put it this way in Romans chapter 15. He says, I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles. That's anybody who's not a Jew. So if you're not a Jew, he's a special messenger to us. I bring you the good news. Why? So that I might present you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. Notice I bring you this good news. That's the gospel message news. And when Paul is saying, I brought this gospel message news to you. And when I brought it to you, what I have done is for you have a choice. You have a choice to either receive that gospel message, that good news, that Jesus wants you to submit your life to Him. that He wants you to surrender your life to Him and invite Him into you and for Him to take completely over. And when you do that, that's the good news message. That's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And you believe in that with faith. You believe in that by faith, that you receive it into yourself. That you ask Jesus to come and live in you. And then what happens? You're made holy. That's what the scripture says. It says that you are made holy. Why? Because the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And now you are bearing the very image of a holy God. You say, that is impossible. That's what I thought too. But you know what? Peter said it too. Peter said it this way. But now you must be holy in everything that you do. So, and I know this doesn't sometimes make sense because I know how I live. And I know that many times it's not in a holy way. I do not react in a holy way. And you know what? It's in those moments that I'm not bearing the image of God. When I don't respond the right way, when I don't act the way that Jesus does, that is not me being holy. But at the same time, because the Holy Spirit is in me, I am holy. And He calls us to be holy in everything we do. And that even means our work. In the way that we do our work. Our work is actually holy. That is hard for some of you to swallow. It's hard for some of you to swallow because you can't stand your work. And I get that. I've had jobs that I couldn't stand before. And I really, truly wish I would have had this perspective. I wish I would have had a godly perspective about my work. But your work is actually, you are called to live out in a holy way your work. How can this be? Because we're called to be with Jesus. Because as you stay with Jesus, as you continue to just be with Jesus and build that relationship with Him, and the more that you're with Him, the more that you will become like Him if you will let Him transform you from the inside out. Because that's how it always happens. It always comes from the inside. And then it works itself out. Why? Because so that we can do what Jesus called us to do. So that we can do what Jesus did. And what did Jesus do? Jesus restored and He redeemed. Jesus healed. He brought healing where He went. Where Jesus came, He brought a message of peace. When Jesus, wherever Jesus would go, He was bringing redemption to that situation. And that's what you and I are called to practice, to actually live that out. And we need to do that with our work. Because you're created in the image of God. Now, after verse 7, back in Genesis chapter 1, and we read verse 27. Now, look at verse 28. And God blessed them, meaning the male and female, meaning Adam and Eve, meaning the very first couple. God blessed them, and He said, hey, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and govern it. That meant they had a job in the very beginning. They had a job and they were to reign over. They were to rule over. They were to dominate over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. And in this overview of creation in the very beginning, we see that God designed us for work. Now, I know some of the Christ followers in the room are thinking, is that really true? Well, it's right there in the scripture, because here's what you have thought. You thought work was part of the curse, didn't you? See, some of us thought that work was part of the curse, a part of the fall because of when sin entered the world. Then you had to work. Nope, that's not right. Right, we see right in the from the very beginning that God called us, that we were to govern it, that the plan was, the purpose was to govern it, to rule over it, to reign in it. And after the fall, it just got a whole lot harder. That's the difference. You read it on your own time in Genesis chapter 3, and you'll see there, because sin entered in, because of the fallen world, that's why the earth has become so complicated, so hard. That's why it's grown thorns and thistles, and that's why we sweat. It's by the sweat of our brow, because of hard work and toil. Now it's so hard. And that's all in Genesis chapter 3. But we see that even before the fall, the original intent of creation of man and woman was to be in relationship with God and to work the earth, to manage it, to govern it, to reign over it. See, we were created to work, but not to desire work more than God. Because of the fall, this has gotten flipped upside down in so many people's minds and hearts. All of a sudden, we think our sole purpose is about work. All of a sudden, we think that our sole purpose, our work actually becomes our idol. Our work actually becomes that thing that we live for. Our work actually becomes our purpose. And that's upside down. That's not the way that God had meant it. And we know this because God makes this so clear again from the beginning in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, and look at verse number 5. You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength. From the very beginning, you weren't to love your work more than you were to love God. From the very beginning, God had called us to love Him from a place of totality. From every fiber of our being, we're to love God first. And then we're to do our work. But because we live in this fallen world, this broken world, somehow we have fallen more in love with our work than we have our Creator, than we have our God. What about you? Have you ever asked yourself this question? What would they say about me? What would one of my coworkers say about me? Or what would my neighbor say about me? Or what would my cousin say about me? Or what would one of my family members say about me? Would they say that I love my work more than I love my God? Something for you to think about. Well, he didn't stop there about loving God. He takes it a step further. He goes, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commandments that I am giving you today. Because remember, we've said this more than once around here, that love is a choice. That you choose to love. That it's a commitment that you make. It's not a feeling so much as this emotion. Sure, that's part of it. But love is so much bigger than that. And that's exactly what Moses is telling us in the very beginning. That you have to commit to this. This is something that you commit to love. And you commit to love your spouse through the good times and the hard times. It was part of your vows that you would love through sickness or death until death do you part. That is the kind of commitment that you and I make to our God, to love Him in that way. Are you loving God in that way? And then he even goes on in verse 7 and says, and you need to repeat this again and again. He says, you repeat this again and again to your children. So you need to make sure that your influence, how you are influencing your family. Parents, listen, as you influence your kids, you need to repeat this. You need to live this out. They need to see you be with Jesus. They need to see you become like Jesus. And then they need to see you do what Jesus did in your very home. Parents, that's what you need to do. That's what I need to do. We need to live out the way that Jesus has called us to live in our homes. He says, talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road, man, when you're driving down the road, and how many times have we talked about this? How hard is it, right, to love Jesus, to practice the way of Jesus on the roads in Rhode Island, right? That's difficult, but we can do it. And as we're driving down the road, we need to remind ourselves. We need to repeat it time and time again. And it says, when you are going to bed and when you're getting up, meaning all of this is supposed to be a way of life that we are practicing. Are you practicing the way of Jesus in your life? Does it permeate every area? Why? I come back to this idea again. We are called to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, so that we can do what Jesus did. Got a question for you. How do we love God through our work or through our school or through our college or through our motherhood or fatherhood, whatever your work stage is or your work phase is, whatever phase of life that you're in? How do you love God through your work? How do you love God through your work when you're at one of those phases and you're not enjoying it? You don't like it. You don't like your work. And whether it's going to some office or if it's driving some vehicle or whether your work is parenting, you're at that phase of life, or whether your work is retirement or whether your work is just joblessness right now. How do you love that? How do you love God over that more than your work? Well, here's what we need to do. We need to view your work. You need to view your school, your college, your university, whatever stage. You need to view your work as an act of worship. You actually need to view that as an act of worship. You say, well, hold it. Do you know what I do for a living? Yes. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. It can be an act of worship. You just have to come at it at the right, with the right perspective, with a God perspective, with the way that God had designed it to be. Romans. In Romans chapter 12, it tells us how to do this. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, I want you to see this scripture. We're going to zero in on verse number 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. This is the Apostle Paul. I plead with you to give your bodies to God. That's the holistic of you as a person. I plead. He's pleading with these Romans. He's pleading with them to give their whole body to God because of all that He has done for you. So he points back to because of God's love for you, because of that good news message, because of what Jesus has done for us, because of the way that He has loved us. He says, present your entire bodies as a let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Yes. If you and I are ever going to get to the place to where our work can actually be an act of worship, you're going to have to bring it to God as a sacrifice. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to bring your work, your school, your parenthood, your singleness, whatever phase, are you willing to bring that as an act of sacrifice before God? And say, God, I don't like this place that I'm at. I don't like my job. I don't like my work. But I bring it to you as an act of sacrifice because I want to use my work as worship. Have you ever done that? I'm going to challenge you. Actually, I'm going to give you a few moments to do that right now. So whether you're in Lincoln or South County or you're right here in our Cranston location, wherever you are, if you're online, will you pause? And for the next few moments, will you sit in a posture of prayer with your hands out like this? And I want you to envision your work in your hands. And I want you to envision yourself before Jesus and that you are bringing your work to Jesus as a sacrifice. Because you want to use your work as worship. Will you have that conversation with Jesus right now in the quietness of these next few moments? Father, whether the person is in Lincoln or South County or right here in the Cranston location, we want to bring our work before you as a sacrifice that is a living sacrifice that you make holy, because we want our work to be an act of worship. So our prayer is that we could do our work as an act of worship back to you. Help us to get to that place. Help me to get to that place. And Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Here's my challenge to you. Will you, over the next 7 days, all the way up until next Sunday, every morning or before you go do whatever your work is. For most people, it starts in the morning, but sometimes people work second shift or third shift, right? Whatever shift, but before you go do whatever your work is, will you offer it for the next 7 days? Will you get into the habit of offering your work as a sacrifice so that your work can become worship, can become an act of worship? Will you do that? I hope that you will, because if you read this very next verse, that's what it's going to take for your mind to be transformed and to be changed. Look what it says in verse number 2. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Don't let your work become your God. Don't let your work become your sole purpose in life. No, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. And the way that you're going to change the way that you think is by bringing your work as a sacrifice before God on a daily basis, reminding yourself that your work is to be an act of worship. You go to work to worship. And it doesn't matter what kind of job you have. They can't stop you. You can offer your work as worship. And see if your week doesn't change as you do that. I promise you, it's going to change, because God's going to transform the way that you see your work. And again, I come back to this idea. That's why we're called to be with Jesus. That's why we're called to become like Him. We go be with Him so that we can become like Him and be transformed so that we can go into our workplaces and do what Jesus did and bring restoration and redemption and healing and peace and gentleness and long-suffering and patience. That's why. And so, are you ready? Are you ready to go into your workplace tomorrow? Are you ready? And to use it and to offer it as a sacrifice, as an act of worship. Let's take a look at our next steps. You can find your next steps on that link. If you're online, there's a link for that connection card. If you're in one of our locations, there's the QR code that you can use to bring up the next steps. Wherever you are, if you have a hard copy of the next steps, the very first one says, "With the help of the Holy Spirit, I commit to practicing the way of Jesus in my work or school and in my home life." Will you commit to doing that? Will you commit throughout this week? We want to pray for you. So if you'll let us pray for you, indicated on that connection card underneath the next steps. Or if it's easier for you to text the word pray, you can text the word pray to 401-496-9710. And if you'll text the word pray, you're going to get an instant reply into that. There's a link there. When you click on that link, that's when you actually tell us how we can be praying for you. So if you do that, we would love to pray for you this week as our team gathers. The other next step. The other next step maybe is for you to really consider. I want you to think about this. Maybe as you're sitting there, you would be honest with yourself. And you'd say, Rick, I'm not really sure I'm a Christ follower. I need to seriously consider the way that I am currently living and see if it's the way of Jesus. Like you, maybe you've been coming to church for 5 years, maybe longer. And as you are considering and looking at your life, you're like, I'm not being with Jesus. I'm not becoming more like Jesus. And I'm certainly not doing the work that Jesus did. And if that's where you find yourself out, man, maybe today all that could change. Maybe today you really could surrender your whole life. You could repent. You could change. And ask Jesus to take over. That you would submit to Him. And surrender to Him. If that's where you find yourself, man, we want to pray for you. And if you want to have a conversation, we'd love to have a conversation with you. And again, if it's easier for you to text the word trust to that same texting number, 496-9710. And again, you have to do the same thing. When you text the word trust, you're going to get an instant reply. Click on that link, and that's where you give us your name and your information. And we would love to reach out to you. Will you do that? I hope that you will. It's my prayer that you will, because you've been prayed for. There's been a team of people praying for you that you would surrender to Jesus. I'm going to pray for us now. Father, thank you. Thank you for this reminder this morning in your word that from the very beginning you did design us, you created us for work. But then the fall came. Sin entered into the world. The world became broken. And God, we've gotten that so distorted. And all of a sudden now our whole purpose has been to work, and that's not what you meant it to be. And God, so many times we get this wrong. I pray that you'll help all of us to live from a new place, that we would spend, that we would just be with you so that we could become like you, so that we could do what you did when you were here on this earth. And God, I'm asking that you would come in a supernatural way and speak to each one of us, show each one of us what our next step is. And God, we pray that as a result of that, that the state of Rhode Island would be radically changed spiritually, and that we would be able to see one person in one community transformed after the other because of you. So come and do your work. In Jesus, we pray this in your powerful name. Amen.